thankful and grateful. Thanks for the messages we've already heard. Have you been with God? Do those around you know that you've been with God? How do they know? I think it's a good challenge for us. You know, Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he didn't have to go out and proclaim anything. People were drawn to him. People flocked to him. And I wonder how much like Jesus we could become. The people would want to be around us in that way. Maybe there'd be a radiance. There'd be a drawing effect. Maybe it's because they want to hear truth. What are we doing today to let people know that we've been with Jesus? We've been with God. How has it affected us? Also very thankful for the children's lesson there on manners. I heard the words selfish, unselfish, being unselfish. And I think there's not a better place, time to learn it than the language as children. Trying to learn to be unselfish, denying ourselves, allowing others first. It's something that is very powerful. And as we get older, we become young adults and we give our hearts to the Lord. There's so many easier things now. It's so much easier to give up. We've been taught to care for others first and not so much for ourselves. So we're thankful for that. The opening message there kind of dovetails into what I have in my heart here a little bit this morning. A few scattered thoughts here, but trust the Lord can bring that together and he can do a work in our hearts here. Give us some inspiration, give us some encouragement to go into the next week and of our lives, and that we can press in and press forward. Often think about Peter in the first two books that he wrote there. He would say, he opened both of them up, greetings to the church. He would say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to the knowledge of God, or something like that. And I was just thinking about that sitting there. Grace and peace. The power of God and peace be multiplied, be abounding in you through the knowledge of God, Christ Jesus. So it should draw our hearts, if we want that multiplication of power and peace in our hearts, we need to want to be more knowledgeable of God. Learn more about him. Draw closer to him. Allow him to speak into our lives. Let us be more like that. The title of my message I have this morning here is, I love thy law, O Lord. I love thy law, O Lord. Are you a law lover? I know law and commands sometimes can make us shrink back just a little bit, some of us, to make us just kind of, we have a carnal nature inside us there. But I trust this morning that the divine nature of Jesus Christ is wanting to be fed, and we don't respond that way. Just an encouragement this morning to love the law and the commandments of God, and just embrace the perfect law of liberty that has been put before us. The perfect law of liberty and the peace which passeth all understanding. And, I'll go more. I think maybe we'll have a word of prayer before we go any further. Feel the need for that this morning here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray for your power upon each one of our lives here, Lord. We just pray for your grace and your peace, Lord. Father, help us to desire more of that, Lord, and that we can give up more of ourselves and allow more of you to fill each one of our hearts here today, Lord. Father, I just pray that you would be with me, touch my tongue, Lord. Just would you cause me not to speak what I should not? And Lord, you would put words in my mouth, Father. Lord, I just pray that these words would be glorifying to you and honor you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you a lover of the law? You know, many times when we think about law, I'm just going to focus on law and commandments here for a little bit before we branch out into a little further things. And I'd really like to wind up where we're actually searching our hearts. searching our hearts in some areas and finding out where we are in some areas of searching our hearts, the commands of God. But you know, it can feel, laws can feel restricted. It can feel like a restriction on us, on our life. It can feel like a restriction on our spirit. Laws can feel demanding. Something is being demanded out of us. Laws can feel like it's not voluntary on my part, but I have something I have to do. We have the laws of the land, and sometimes we feel restricted by them. We have to do this, and we have to do that. Is that where our heart is this morning? Well, how do we feel toward the laws of God? Were the laws of God, in the new covenant, were all the laws abolished? I'm not really wanting to go down that direction. We might touch on it briefly. But we live in a lawless age. Society around us is going lawless. Every way they can, they try to defy laws. They try to get around them. They try to live outside of them. And we can see the fruits of that, and it's not good. But our heart this morning is that we love the laws of God. We love the laws of God. Laws themselves do not bring righteousness, but loving them, having that unquenchable faith, will bring obedience to God, which is righteousness. Do we love God's law? Trust this morning we have that divine nature. And when we feel that restriction crossing our spirit, find that demand crossing our life, our spirit possibly, that we could the power of God, the grace of God could fill our hearts, and we could rise up against that. We could rise up against that and with a yes, a joyful yes in the will of God. So do we love God? When we look at God's laws, just want to touch on a few things here. Do we love God? We'd all say we do, right? If we love God, we love His laws. If we don't love His laws, then we probably don't love God. God's own laws is made up of His character and who He is. Now that's who we truly want to be. But we don't want it to be, we want it to be something that we desire, something that we seek after, something we want. In 1 John 5, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So here we have, John is saying, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to bear. They should be something we do with joy. And so, let's challenge ourselves in that this morning. The laws and commandments of God, is it something we joyfully take up? Is He truly our Master and King? If He is, we are His servants. If we are truly His, we'll desire that. It'll be an unfeigned, we'll be eager servants of Him. I trust we are here this morning. It's just a challenge here for us maybe to search our own hearts in some of these ways, some of these areas. You know, I know the world looks on a Christianity sometimes, and they look on Christianity as being maybe a restricted lifestyle. You can't have all the fun that's out there. There's a lot of things you can't do that's out there. And I had a man tell me that once, and he said, man, he was working up at the elevator, and he was sharing that he was a Christian. He says, you do it differently than I do. He says, you can't even have any fun. And I says, you don't understand Christianity. And he says, well, my sister's a Christian, and she does all kinds of things. She goes to Mardi Gras, and she does this, and she does that, and all these things. And she says, you could do that too. Anyhow, we had an interesting discussion. But that's often looked on as the commandments of God are looked on as something that's restricting us. But brothers and sisters, it brings us freedom. It brings us liberty. And we can love those things. We can go after those things. It brings us liberty. It brings us a freedom that they don't know anything about, and a peace. And that this morning is what we want to promote. That we can give up. Selfishness does not make us happy. Just like Brother John read in that children's story, all those children at that table there, selfishness was abounding. There was no one happy. There wasn't a single one that was happy. Mom and Daddy weren't happy either. Commandments of God. It's easy for us to do as well, for us to actually get in the situation too, where we can maybe, how should I say it? In this day and age of Christianity, where some things have been watered down so much that we feel like we've been given a liberty to do whatever we want to. And that goes outside the commandments and the laws of God. And it's easy to get drawn into that, and I think we have to war against that. We seek after holiness, perfection. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. And James, it says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. The royal law. Then in Matthew, he talks about the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to the first great, that we love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And the second is likened to it, that we love our neighbor as ourself. Commandments of God. The New Testament is not without commandments. But do we see them as commandments? Do we see them as restrictions on our life? Or is it something we want to work towards? Something that's a guide for holiness as a result of that? God would say, he just, you know, we have choices. We can all make choices. We don't have to follow the commandments of God. We don't have to make those choices to be that, to do that, go there. But if you choose to follow me, this is what it will look like. If you choose to follow me, this is what it will look like. We know that God had commandments from the very beginning. He put laws. God had laws in the garden. He told Adam and Eve, thou shalt not eat of this tree. Do not eat of this fruit. And they heeded it not, and there was death. In the creation of the earth, I just can't help but think that when we look at what God, when he created the earth, he says, let there be light, and there was light. Let the firmament divide between the waters and the land, and it was so. Let there be a light to rule the day and a light to rule the night, and it was so. Let it be. It seemed to me that everything out there that was just begging and crying out to obey God. But just crying out to follow his commands. Crying out to seek his laws. Whatever it was, the matter, whatever he created this out of nothing, it says. But it was all just crying out to him in obedience. He just said, let there be these things. And they all, everything came together. And just to be, they didn't have a choice. Okay? They didn't have a choice like we have. But yet they were, it was, that actually glorifies God. And that's why his whole creation that he has created on this earth glorifies him in a very special way as well. We see his creation, how wonderful and beautiful it is, and everything was done just right. We look at the Red Sea and the many miracles that he created, and the waters parted. They obeyed him obediently. How much more than we? You see her. We see in his creation just everything that is so orderly and set in place. And it's by his law, the law of gravity, there's laws of physics. Every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction that men have discovered. God created those things. There's laws in science. And not only that, but they're truth. They're consistent. They're always there. It happens. That's some of God's laws, physical laws in this earth. That don't. We couldn't function properly with it if we didn't have gravity that was consistent. If we didn't know when to plant plants and have fruit to raise up. If we didn't know a lot of these things, we wouldn't have. It's because of the laws of God. There was a man that we've done some business with, and he did not believe in objective truth, but he believed in subjective truth, which is not truth at all. But that was his process. And so whatever he believed to be true was true. Whatever I believed to be true was true. That's not a law of God. That is not God. He is truth. And there's nothing but it. And yet he worked in the science of agronomy. I told him, I said, how can you figure out if it wasn't for the laws of God and truth, how would you even know how to work with plants if there was no truth there and there was no law of God, if the laws of God weren't in place? So it's so important, the laws of God, and to believe in that way. I'd like to turn to Psalms. I'm going to read an Old Testament scripture here, and then I'd like to turn to some New Testaments here. Let's turn to Psalms 119. I'd like to read a number of verses here. We look at the psalmist David and how he understood the laws of God, but yet I don't believe David followed God's laws because he felt like he had to. He loved God. And when you love God, you're going to love his laws, because his laws are a manifestation of who God is. Turn to Psalms 119. Let's start at verse 89. It's really hard to know where to stop. I think all of Psalms 119 actually really communicates David's love for the law of God. Start in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Here we have thy word. Thy word is the truth of God. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thine servants. Here we have the ordinances, God's law, there again. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Unless thy law had been my delights, his love, he loved his laws, then I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Here we go again. I will never forget thy precepts or thy commandments and statutes, for with them thou hast enlivened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts, thy commandments and statutes. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies, the work of the Lord, the carrying out of the fruit, the work of the Lord. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Here we have David. He loves his law. He thinks about God's law every day. He meditates on the law of God, the commandments of God. Are we reading our scripture? Are we digging in? Are we continually thinking? Is our meditation on God, his holiness, who he is? Maybe if we did some of these things, people would be asking us, have you been with God? Who have you been with? If we consider these things the way David has loved the law of God. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. Imagine. Wisdom. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I keep thy commandments. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Thy word, thy truth. I have not departed from my judgments, from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though thy precepts or thy commandments and statutes, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word, thy truth is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy statutes, thy righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me or enliven me, O Lord, according unto thy word, thy truth, thy precepts. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. I have a choice, he's saying, I have a choice with my soul, yet I will not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are in the rejoicing of my heart. Thy testimonies, the amazing truths and commandments that you have proven to be true, or I have proven to be true, I've taken as an heritage forever, for they are rejoicing in my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes, always even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thy law is truth. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. And we'll stop there. I will keep the commandments of my God. I will keep the laws of my God. They make my heart to rejoice. We can go through here and pick out every verse there. He is affirming the commandments and the laws and the judgments and the testimonies of God and what they have done for him. And he's saying, I could not make it. I could not, my soul would not be preserved if I did not take these commandments, your laws, your commandments, your testimonies, and your judgments. And if I didn't hold them and love them, I would not have made it. But not only that, he says, I rejoice in them. He rejoices in these things. Are hard things hard? They are. Hard things can be difficult. Difficult things can be hard. But God has a way for each one of them to make it easier. We look to him. He has a way for each one of us in that. Just thinking about David here, through the difficulties he was through, but yet the laws and commandments and judgments and testimonies of God was what brought him through. And I believe that David understood God in a way that following his commandments and his laws was a joy. It was not something he had to do. It was not a restriction in his life. It was not demanding on his life. It was something he wanted. It's something he desired. It's something he sought after. That's what I pray for myself this morning. Pray for each one of us that we can seek after those things with fervent, with a fervency. Loving the law of God is obedience. Jesus said, it's also in Isaiah, there's a prophecy in Isaiah, and Jesus referred to it. He says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We'll turn to some New Testament scriptures here now. Let's turn to a chapter in James, kind of make our text chapter out of James here. James, first chapter of James. Start in verse 21 here. No, I'm just going to read the whole chapter here. Let me read the whole chapter. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not only hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So a couple of the verses I just want to key in on here a little bit is, verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So just for a little illustration, if we would take a mirror, our looking glass up here, and we would look into it, and our face was dirty, and it had spots, and it was dirty, would we walk away and do nothing about it? I perceive that most of us would not. If we looked in there and we saw dirt, we saw spots, we saw things that should not be there, we saw blemishes, would we not try to correct it? And I believe this is what Scripture is trying to tell us. If we look into that perfect law of liberty, we're not going to walk away and do nothing about it. If we work into the law of God, we will not walk away and do nothing about it, but we will address it and be a doer of the work. And this man shall be blessed in his deed, it says. So with that, search my heart, O God. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The laws of God. You know, the law, the commandments of God in the Old Testament was as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Something that brought us there. And then by faith, we become obedient. By faith, we become obedient to it. Do we have to understand why God sets all his laws and commandments? Do we have to understand why? Or do we just have to desire to follow God in his ways? How many of us go to the gas station, we fill our car up with gas? Do we have to understand why that crude oil, or how that crude oil got turned into gasoline? Do we have a faith that when we fill our car up with gas, it's not going to be filling it up with black, thick, gooey crude oil? No, we have faith. We have a confidence that we're going to get gasoline to run our car, right? Do we have to understand why? Can we take God's word? Can we have faith in God's word? Faith in his laws? Faith in his commandments? Just to take them for what they are? To live them out? We look in the mirror and we see those things. Can we trust him in that? Galatians 3, it says, "For if inheritance be of the law, it is no more of a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is then the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been seen by had been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them to believe. If God wanted law, God wanted law to be our, he wants our hearts. But God could institute a righteousness sentence if he wanted to, but it would not bring him glory. So God's heart would desire that we would follow in his law, that we yearn after it, we long after it, and it's not something that would keep us, that we have to do, that we have to do. There's no faith in that. There's no righteousness in that. He clearly says it here in Galatians. God, help us in that. It says, "But before the faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law is a tutor to bring us to Christ, but cannot save us." Those are my words. "But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." And we look at the faith of Abraham. We're the seed of Abraham, right? By faith. Not by lineage. By faith. Abraham followed after God. God actually did not set the commandments. Many of the commandments he had not given Abraham. Abraham followed by faith. Desiring to know God, desiring to be obedient to God, he followed by faith. Refusing this is an act of rebellion. But God's laws are perfect. They're true. They're holy and righteous. Perfect would be whole and sufficient to guide human life and restore. Holy and righteous, pure and upright, entirely free, true, consistent with the reality and the nature of God and who he is. Eternal and unchanging, permanent, never changing, spiritually reaching deeper than the outward actions, but that they govern the heart and the soul and the attitude, the spirit of man. They reflect God's character, exposes sin. God's laws expose sin. God's laws point to a Savior, a Redeemer. It's a beautiful picture when you think about the purpose of God's laws, but yet he desires that our hearts should be seeking after those things, and it's not something that we have to do. I think most of us understand that. We're very familiar with that. We will desire that. Each one of us, I believe, desires that, and we want that, and that would be our desire and our heart's cry. And I would like to just, as we think back about the mirror and looking into it, and what are we going to do when we examine ourselves and we see where we might have trespassed against God's laws? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to walk away from the mirror and go on our way and forget what we look like? Or are we going to do something about it? And so that's where I think the heart-searching part comes in on this. If we truly want to have the mind of Christ, truly want to do that. There is a commandment in the New Testament, be ye perfect even as I am perfect. Quite a commandment, isn't it? Be ye perfect. That's a law. God desires that we would seek after his perfection, his level of holiness. I have a number of items I'd like to go down through and just challenge our hearts really deeply here this morning with a few things. It's actually a list. We won't get through it all, but it's actually a list of it's a glimpse into our lives, possibly, for a personal revival. It's a paper I've had in my Bible for a while. I don't even know who wrote it, but it's a really, it's been really challenging for me. And I just thought I'd share some of those things. Then we can truly seek our hearts and find out, and if we, what are we going to do with them? Commandments of God. These are commandments of God. What are we going to do with them? Let's challenge ourselves with them. In Matthew 6, 14 to 15, it says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Looking into the mirror, searching our hearts. We have some questions related to that. Is there anyone against whom you hold a grudge? Is there anyone against whom you hold a grudge? Is there anyone you haven't forgiven? Is there anyone you hate? Is there anyone you do not love? These are hard questions, because I'm not sure we understand the full depth of love. I'm not sure we understand hate. But God's law in the New Testament says that, in the old law it said, Brother John and I were talking to someone yesterday at the barbecue about this, but the old law would say, thou shalt not kill. But the new law would say, if we hate someone, we're saying let's kill them. The new law, the old law would say, if you commit adultery, you're subject to stoning. The new law says, you're condemned, you have committed adultery already, if you think lustful thoughts, if you entertain lustful thoughts. Some of the differences there. Are there any misunderstandings you are unwilling to forget? Is there any person against whom you are harboring bitterness, resentment, or jealousy? Anyone you dislike to hear praised or well spoken of? Is there anyone that you just, when someone speaks well of them, you're like, ugh. And so maybe you try to combat that. Do you allow anything to justify a wrong attitude towards another? This is all under the category of, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know what's interesting is, as I go through this list, it seems like everything comes back to, most everything comes back to a relationship between me and God and me and man. There's a relationship there we're all aware of. But it's a relationship, it's a law that God has put in place. It's a law that he's put in place, and we can't get around it. I would like to just for, we all understand this, but we have, God here, and we have man. And we have me. Trying to figure out how to do this here. This right here. Has to be greater to or equal to. I'm not sure this is going to fall apart. I didn't think this through. I just thought about it here now. It'd be equal. This relationship, my love to man, has to be greater or equal to man compared to God. I have to love God. I have to love man. I cannot love man without loving God. Right? We all understand that. It's in the scripture. Maybe that was a poor way to describe it there. But it's not just, it's just not love. It's forgiveness. It's every aspect. Love is the overshadowing thing. But it's every aspect of it. But it seems like that the commandments that we have are relative. Most of them are relative to our relationship with mankind and with God. This next one I have, it says, it's out of Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I'm going to ask some more questions. Is there anything in which you have failed to put God first? Yes or no? Have your decisions been made after your own wisdom and desires rather than seeking God, seeking and following God's will? Yes or no? These are not questions. Maybe, maybe yes, maybe not. Yes or no? If we don't know, it's probably a no. Or a yes, depending on the question here. It's probably a negative, I'll put it that way, if we don't know. We're not clear. Do any of the following in any way interfere with your surrender and service to God? Your ambition, pleasures, loved ones, friendship, desire for recognition, money, your own plans? Strikes pretty close to home for me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do any of these things interfere with your surrender, service to God, ambitions, pleasures, loved ones, friendship, desire for recognition, money, your own plans? Is the kingdom of God first, or do they get in the way? Yes or no? In John 13:35, it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A little bit what I just drew up on the board there. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Once again, can others say that we've been with God, we've been with Christ, we've been with Jesus, we have been there? Are you by this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another? Now the question to challenge us on that is, are you secretly pleased over the misfortune of another? Do we love another? Are you secretly annoyed over the accomplishments or advancements of another? Are you guilty of any contention or strife? Do you quarrel, argue, or engage in heated discussions? Are you a partaker in any divisions or party spirit? Are there people whom you deliberately slight? These are all yes or no. Yes or no. And then again, here in 2 Corinthians, by the way, I'll back up there. This is a law. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, out or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Have you robbed God by withholding his due of your time and talents and money? What are we willing to give to God? Have we denied him? Have we robbed him? Have you failed to support with money or work or prayer? Have you failed to support God and his kingdom, the kingdom of God, in that way? Yes or no? Where are we on this? Again, in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Where is our sufficiency? Or am I, it should be using, am I self-conscious rather than Christ-conscious? Am I self-conscious? Am I more worried about myself than I am Christ? Am I Christ-conscious? Do I allow feelings of inferiority to keep me from attempting things that should be serving God? Am I concerned, once again, just concerned about myself? Yes or no? Yes or no? Any Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always. This is a commandment. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Taken out of context here in that verse, it's not written as a commandment, but it's a closing statement. Have you neglected to thank Him for all things, the seemingly bad as well as the good? Yes or no? Have you virtually called God a liar by doubting His word? Do we doubt His word? Do we doubt His providence? Do we doubt His sufficiency in our life? Do we doubt Him in any way? Yes or no? Do you worry? Yes or no? Is your spiritual temperature based on your feelings instead of on the facts of God's word? These are hard questions. These reach very deep into our hearts and our innermost being. If we're really honest, they reach deep. And if I love the laws and commandments of God, I will repent from these things. And I will embrace the things that God, these laws and commandments that God has put in place for us to serve Him in a more pure and holy way. Because they're a reflection of who He is. And that's who we want to be. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Do I complain? Yes or no? Do I find fault? Yes or no? Do I have a critical attitude towards any person or anything? Yes or no? Am I irritable or cranky? Yes or no? Do you ever carry a hidden anger? Do you get angry? Do you become impatient with others? Am I ever harsh or unkind? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. It's a characteristic of obedience to the laws and commandments of God. It's a characteristic of someone that wants to, is seeking God. Yes or no? In Philippians, for to me to live is Christ and die is gain. Apostle Paul wrote that. Are you taken up with the cares of this life? Am I taken up with the cares of this life? Does my conversation or heart joy over things rather than the Lord and His word? Do I rejoice over the things that I work with from day to day more than over His word? More than over His promises? More than over His... what we feel coming from Him? More than the testimonies that David talked about? David talked about the testimonies. If it wasn't for the testimonies of the Lord, he said, I would have failed. I would have fallen. Again in Philippians, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do I ever, by word or deed, seek to hurt someone? Do I gossip? Yes or no? Do I speak unkindly concerning people when they are not present? Do I carry prejudice against the Christians because they are a different group than yours, or because they do not see everything exactly like you? Do we have feelings? Lord, help us in these things. These are some hard things, dear ones. But I think it does us well to look in the mirror, and if we are seeing some of these things in that mirror, that we walk away from there, not knowing forgetting what kind of man we were, ignoring it. But the law of liberty will free us from those things. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Have I neglected to seek to be pleasing to him at all in all things? Do I carry bitterness toward God? Have I complained against him in any way? Have I complained about the weather? Have I been dissatisfied with his provisions for me? Do I have in my heart any unwillingness to fully obey God? Do I have any reservations as to what I would do concerning anything that might be in his will? Would I doubt his will? Would I question what he has for me? I'm going to be a Jonah. When God calls us, I'm going to be in God's will. I'm going to run away. Do we have that spirit of Jonah? Do I have that spirit of Jonah? Yes or no? In Colossians 3:9 we read, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deed. Do I engage in empty and unprofitable conversation? Do I ever exaggerate, cheat, or steal? Do I ever overcharge in business? Do I love thy law, O Lord, as David did? Do I find these things of righteousness? Do I delight in them? In 2 Timothy, it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Do I have personal habits that are not pure? Do I allow impure thoughts to stay in my mind? Yes or no? Do I read that which is impure or suggest unholy, unrighteous things? Do I indulge in any unclean entertainment? Yes or no? These are the laws of God. He tells us not to lust after anything, or we've already committed a sin. He also says if you have committed one of these, you have committed all of them. We're guilty of all, I should say. We have not committed, we're guilty of all. So I think it does us well. We carefully examine our hearts and search our hearts. We look into the mirror, search our heart, O God. And I think as we do more of this, I think God will help us with these things. The closer we become to God, the closer we're drawn to God, the more he will reveal himself to us. Pure religion and undefiled, we've read this in already, before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep them unspotted from the world. Have I allowed myself to become spotted by the world? Do I spend beyond what is pleasing to God on anything? Do I neglect to pray about things that I buy? James 4:6, he says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Do I feel like I'm doing pretty good as a Christian? Do I feel like I'm just pretty much on track? Do I feel that I'm not so bad? Do I feel that I'm good enough? I insist on having my own way? Do I insist on my own rights? Am I stubborn? I think that kind of summarizes it. God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Again, here we've kind of covered this one, but I'll read it a little different. Scripture verse, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. God has asked us to be a doer of the law. Have I dishonored him and hindered his work by criticizing his servants? To back up just a little bit on the last one, am I good enough? I had a couple other thoughts I wanted to share on that. I would just like to emphasize, am I good enough? You know, there's not a single one of us out here that's good enough without the power of God in our lives. I don't care how good we were raised. I don't care how good we are, how good of a good boy or good girl. We're never good enough without the power of God. There is never a place that we can't surrender our will and be born again. And I want to just say this because there's a little burden on my heart for this. That it's easy for us to not think that we need God because we don't see any error in our way. It is easy for us, as even as young men and women, young boys and girls, to do everything that mom and daddy say and be good and not realize we need the Lord. There's no way possible we can be good enough. It's a call this morning. That is a little bit of a call this morning for revival. It's a call for those that have not accepted the Lord Jesus. We cannot do it on our own. We'll never be good enough. There is a heaven and a hell. And we're not good enough on our own to keep ourselves out of hell. It won't work. I'm not good enough. And there's no one here that's good enough. The power of God changes lives, and only that, and nothing else. Back to James 4:11 here. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Have I failed to pray regularly for the pastor and other spiritual leaders and government leaders, for presidents, even leaders of the land? Have I failed to pray same thing. Do I find it hard to be corrected? Do I have a rebellion toward one who wants to restore me? Am I more concerned about what people will think than what will be pleasing to God? You know, just thinking about that word rebellion, I couldn't help but think about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. When they rebelled against God, they rebelled against God's commandments, they rebelled against God's law, and the earth opened up and swallowed them up. And there was terror that day. There was terror that day. In fact, I'm going to read that back in Numbers 16. Now, Korah, this, let me pick a couple of verses out here. Verse 28, it said, "And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own hand." Moses said, "I have not done them." This is God thing. "If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing in the earth, open up her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he had made an end of the speaking of all these words, that the ground clave asunder, and that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appeared unto Korah, and all their goods. And all they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came a fire out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. I just wanted to make that just a little bit more graphic. Not more than the scripture, but just wanted to bring out a point. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. The earth swallowed them up. It was not a happy scene. The Lord's commandments and his laws are righteous. They're true. We don't need to fear them. We need to rejoice in them. We need to desire to seek after them. We do. I trust. I'm not using these things. I just like to encourage us that the laws of God are in place. They're in place there for us, but yet God wants us to follow after them in faith, with our hearts. They shouldn't feel restrictions. They shouldn't feel like a restriction. They shouldn't feel like a bondage to us. But we should be free in them. And that's where the freedom in Christ, the liberty in Christ comes from. And we are free in those things. And then we can rejoice in those things. I just trust this morning that I didn't put a negative tone to hitting here so much, but yet a serious one that we can search our own hearts and follow after the law of God. That we can love the laws of God. We can love these things he's put in place for us. That we can be found faithful to the end. When we come to the end of our life, none of us know when that's going to be. It could be tomorrow. It could be 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. Or it may be today. We don't know when that is. That if we looked into the glass, we looked into the mirror, and we'd not walk away not wondering what manner of man we were, but knowing and doing something about it, confessing. Seeking God. The law of the Lord is beautiful. David, Psalms 119, the law of the Lord is perfect. And it's what kept David, gave him his strength, what gave him his courage. The law of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord were an amazing strength to David. And the law was not a burden. That it says that he meditated on them day and night. He meditated on them day and night. I wonder if I would do more of that. Meditating on the law of the Lord, the things of God. If I wouldn't experience even a greater level of freedom. surrendering my heart, surrendering our hearts to things that we don't think we hold dear.